हरिः ॐ सहनाववतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सहवीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवसदि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Chaitanya-upanayanam, Nyaya Sutras, Sutra 1.1.25, page 36. So the Vritti, the Sahaja Swami. Drishtanta, did we read this?
No.
Drishtanta is the use of an example to illustrate a common fact and establish an argument. This is a very important aspect of reasoning. For frequently a useful example can be accepted by both parties involved in a discussion without any disputation or difference of opinion. Right? Because that's what you're trying to find, is what is that common ground that you can get the drishtanta across. For example, when one argues that there must be fire because there is smoke, he may use the example of smoke in the kitchen to confirm the permanent relationship between fire and smoke. The relationship between fire and smoke in the kitchen is a common occurrence and may be readily accepted by both parties. Therefore, the example of the kitchen for confirming the existence of the fire inferred from the presence of smoke is potentially very helpful. Vritti, the sixth padartha called Siddhanta, is discussed next. Siddhanta is of four kinds, based on the differences in the modes of establishment. These four kinds are elaborated in the next few anuchetas. Proved doctrine, Siddhanta, is based on, quote, establishment on the basis of a branch of learning, end quote, Tantra, Samstiti, or, quote, establishment on the basis of another proved thesis, end quote, Adhikarana Samstiti, or establishment on the basis of implication, Abhyupagama Samstiti. So this is three.
Then next verse explains
the four.
One has the two. One of them has two.
Okay, commentary by Vatsyayana Narisi. The word siddha stands for objects that are proved as being such and such and having such and such nature. The establishment, samstiti, of the siddha is siddhanta. Right, so that's why then it's the samstiti. Establishment is the determination of the exact nature of an object.
All right, the tantra samstiti, I think it's the sarvatantra samstiti, and then one on your own branch, one is, and another is on all branches, I accept. The first one has two.
Oh, I see. Beats. Okay, so then the...
There's Sarvasam Tantra Samstiti, and then another one is...
Okay, so the first two are actually one.
One.
And then this is, the second one is on implication.
Second one is on another proof thesis. Third one is another proof thesis, and the fourth one is the implication.
So what's the first one?
First one is Sarva...
Branch of learning or general.
It has two.
Two.
One is all branches accept. Another one is which is
your branch accepts. Okay. Okay.
That elaborated in the next one.
Okay, so then all branches of science say there's no God, but then if you say that, you know, this is fact, and chemistry, physical say that's not a fact. And they'll all say that the guys in psychology have no idea what they're talking about. Like that?
Okay.
Commentary, okay, then we did that. So samstiti then is the establishment is siddhanta. Establishment is the determination of the exact character of an object. In other words, quote, the specification of its true nature. Dharma niyam. Tantra is a discourse on interconnected themes. Artha. In other words, it is a branch of learning. Shastra. Establishment on the branch of learning. Tantra samstiti means the establishment of an object as admitted by a branch of learning. Tantra artha samstiti. Okay. Give it a try.
No.
Have you had one of these?
I didn't sleep enough, so.
I see. To get in your head and keep you awake, right?
Mostly fennel?
I'm not sure what it is. But it's got eucalyptus and menthol. That's what comes up in your nose. Yeah. But other than that, then... menthol.
The eucalyptus is more nice.
Licorice, yeah, there's licorice powder. Licorice powder.
Oh, so they just call it that instead of... right,
capsicum also.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so it's a little hot, a little bit minty, licorice-y.
There's a lot of eucalyptus.
Yeah.
The science is clear.
Yeah, they're grinding up, make ice cream. So. No?
You will hear it, not now. Oh. You may try it.
That's how you get your mint from the ice cream.
No, it's a bona fide one.
Many other things.
Okay. So establishment on the basis of learning, tantra samstiti, means the establishment of an object admitted by a branch of learning. Tantra artha samstiti. Establishment on the basis of another proved thesis, adhikarana samstiti, is the establishment of an object which is, quote, consequential to, end quote, anu shakta, quote, another proof thesis, adhikarana. So it means something is already established and everybody accepts, then you base your, what you're presenting on that. Establishment on the basis of an implication. Abhyu pagama samstiti. Is the acceptance of an object which is not being critically examined, but accepted because of having been implied. Quote, prove doctrine on the basis of implication, end quote. Abhyu pagamana siddhanta is for the purpose of determining the specific nature of an object. Priti sahojaswam. Siddhanta means prove doctrine. It is an axiomatic postulate that is accepted as the undisputed truth and that serves as the foundation of the entire theory of a particular system of philosophy. This accepted truth might be derived either from direct experience or from reasoning and logic. For example, it is the doctrine of Nyaya philosophy that there is a God, Nimitta Karana, who is the operative cause of the universe and who organizes and regulates the atoms. Udriti. Srila Prabhupada explains the importance of understanding Siddhanta as follows. So, by studying Krishna, you become liberated. So these verses should be studied very carefully, understanding each word very carefully. Then you'll understand Krishna. Kaviraj Goswami has said, Siddhanta boliya chitte na kara alash. Iha haite Krishna lage suhrida manas. Siddhanta, what is Krishna? If you study from the Shastras, then Siddhanta, boliya chitte, don't be lazy in understanding Krishna. Because if you try to understand Krishna, sadhu shastra guru vakya, chitte te kariya aikya, through the sadhu shastra guru, then you understand Krishna, what he is. Then you'll not take him as ordinary human being, as foolish person talking. Avajananti mam mudha manushim tanum ashritaha. Bhagavad Gita 9.11. Mudas, rascals, they think Krishna as one of us. Then you'll not be a mudha, you'll be intelligent. Lecture on Srimad Bhagavatam 7.9.32, Mayapur, 10th March 1976. Don't be a mudha. Yeah, so so this is now the next one. So it means you have Pramana and Prameya. So you have the way of proving things of what is to be proved. Right? Then you're going to have doubt, because without doubt you're not going to analyze. Right? Then it has to be, you have to come to an understanding, right, of what's being discussed. So the drishtanta is there, but it must come to conclusion. So you see, there's a natural logical order. Even as presenting the padarthas of logic, they're logically presented.
Also, yes. The purpose is where you need to direct yourself. It's like a gauge in parameter.
Mm.
Otherwise, like, there is no standard where you need to focus.
Mm-hmm.
First you have a doubt, then in order to do something about it, then you need a gauge parameter, then the purpose gives that.
Okay, that one was before. Are we already done?
Fourth one. Yes, fourth one.
So this is the fifth, Siddhanta?
This is the sixth.
Sixth, okay. Okay, okay.
That gives, then drishtanta is what actually then connects with what you know, seeing the unknown from the known,
mm-hmm.
and then coming to Siddhanta.
Siddhanta. Okay. So that means you have a doubt, but the only point of the doubt is to come to what's the actual purpose of things.
Mm-hmm.
Only then you can, through what you know here, know what's beyond, and then come to Siddhanta.
Whether the doubt is valid or not also.
Yeah, that's also true. Yeah, whether the doubt is valid.
So the doubt is the impetus to reveal the Siddhanta.
Yes. But also, as he pointed out, it may be the doubt's not valid. Because we'll take it, because I have a doubt, therefore it's valid. I doubt, therefore I am.
I doubt, yeah. Therefore I'm intelligent.
Yes, therefore I'm intelligent. I exist in intelligence. Sutra 1.1.27. Because of the, quote, differences in the modes of establishment, end quote, samstiti artantara bhava, it is fourfold. One, established on basis of unanimity of all the branches of learning, sarvatantra samstiti. Two, establishment on the basis of one's own branches of learning, prati tantra siddhanta. Three, establishment as the basis of another proved thesis, adhikarana samstiti. And four, establishment on the basis of implication, abhyu pagamana samstiti. Okay, so his point here is that the point is this one is based on a branch of learning, but then whether it's all or yours.
It's so simple, Maharaj. But the guy who translated, he was mentioning all the other scholars fighting whether the previous verse actually existed or is made up.
He presented like 1.5 pages.
Argument.
So he was saying it was there, or he was not sure?
This guy, he is like, he presented as though he's neutral on...
Neutral, yeah. I have God-brothers who've done that, points of the acharyas. They take the neutral stance and throw it out there and let everybody else go crazy.
It's so funny, and then, in one sense, like, you know, for us it's so clear, if you're having that right mood to catch it, then you easily understand without any of all this intellectual maneuvering. You know, like, you know, it's already there. You know why is it, the purpose of it. Take it and as is true.
Yes, but when you said intellectual what?
Maneuvering.
Maneuvering. Oh, that's an interesting. I've never heard that. You've heard that before? Intellectual maneuvering.
Prabhupada uses sometimes.
Maneuvering or maneuvering?
Maneuvering.
Maneuvering. Yeah, that's used. But I'm saying that actually it's maneuvering. Because manure means, you know, the stuff you compost and put in the fields.
I was talking about maneuver.
Maneuver, but I'm just saying, when you said it, I was thinking, well, actually, this is a bunch of maneuver. Yeah, it is a bunch of maneuver, so therefore, that's why we don't bother.
So if you get to maneuver around the manure.
Yeah, maneuver. Because the cows are already making first-class manure, so we don't have to actually get involved in that. Why we should be using our brain to make manure? The cows are already making it. We should be, maneuvering around the manure. Yeah, because you see, Bhaktivinoda Thakur uses it so much. He'll say, there's this, 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 and then in this one you have these subdivisions, and in that you have this, and then within that you have... It's just natural that it expands, because they're not used to... Because for them, you have these three, but it's all part of the path, but then when you have these others, then it can get off. But for us, and it started from one place, and it comes down into the detail. And then that's where you may have your differences, but the point is it all goes back to the same place, so it doesn't... you see it in the proper Sutra 1128. So we thank you for not including that pile of manure.
Oh my, there's so much of
so much manure in here. And of manure is generally from the bulls. So you can't use it in certain rituals. Sutra 1128. Proved doctrine on the basis of the unanimity of all the branches of learning is an object, quote, not contradicted by, end quote, abhiruddha. Not contradicted by any of the other branches of learning and admitted in one's own branch of learning. So in yours, so in other words, if all other branches are saying it, but we don't say it, let's say it's Gaudiya's, then that wouldn't be taken, that wouldn't be this unanimity, because it has to include yours. Or you say it, but others don't. That's another thing, so you have to be careful. Because otherwise, something, oh, but this one, this, that one, that, and then they doubt our own. Mm-hmm. They just take our own, but you have to doubt, yes.
It's more specifically, you emphasize that point in your own branch, but others accept it, but they don't emphasize like that.
Yes, yes, yes. But the point is, it's accepted.
Yes.
It's accepted.
It's not contradicted. Yeah, so they don't reject it. They just don't put emphasis on it.
But you don't use it for causing doubts.
Yes.
You don't use it in that way.
So it would be something like everybody accepts that there is a soul.
Yes.
All six souls is universally accepted.
Yes. So then that's there. But then how they see that they see the soul as servant. Let's say some may take it as servant as conditionally, but not constitutionally, but we'll take it as constitutionally.
Even among the Vaishnava Sampradayas, like on the Abhideya aspect, how exactly they need to engage and all, how they need to see themselves in connection to the Lord, that relationship is where the difference is because of the rasa then.
Yes, the rasa creates slightly different. Then, commentary by Vatsyayana Rishi. As for example, the senses like the nose, etc., the objects of the senses like smell, etc., the elements like earth, etc., the Mahabhutas, and the obtainment of valid knowledge of an object by the Pramanas. So these are accepted in all the schools. So then,
started from the most gross instead of the subtle.
Yeah.
Instead of hearing it, so it went from earth with the smell and the nose.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's interesting. Because then everybody's going to accept that. It's also interesting, that's probably also what the Tarka Sangraha is. Mm-hmm. It will be those points that all schools accept. Like that. You might define it a little differently than that, but the principle of it you all accept. So then that becomes a solid basis. And then, as Gotama says, there's 12 points of discussion, of what you're trying to prove. There's 12 things that is there. So then, Sutra 1129. Proved doctrine on the basis of one's own branch of learning is an object which is accepted in one's own allied branch of learning. Sama Tantra, but not accepted in other branches of learning. Pati Tantra. So one's own branch or one's connected with it, you know, so it's like, let's say, for ourselves, we'll accept one aspect. The Gaudiya Math may also accept the same aspect because they're allied. But let's say it may not be appreciated by the Shris.
Also, the Satkarya Vada knowledge. It's like the. What is this? Kapila.
Yeah.
They accept, and Vedanta
accepts.
But others don't. I mean, even Vaishnava Vedanta only.
Yeah.
Others don't. Some will reject also.
Yeah, so it means yourself, others that have a similar, or let's say like surrender to the Lord, that you see, we'll say that, the Shris will say that. You know, so then, you know, it has that things. But the main thing is that your branch is saying it.
Mm.
Yeah. Or it may be we say, Krishna, Supreme Personality of Godhead, you know, means Braja Krishna. Others may not accept that, but they'll accept that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, meaning that, you know, Vasudev Krishna. Mm. That they'll all accept. But whether, you know, they'll accept that Braja Krishna is, that's another. Sutra 1130. Proved doctrine on the basis of another proved thesis, Adhikarana Siddhanta, is the object which, when proved, also proves other certain objects. Footnote 17. For example, the knower, i.e. the soul, is distinct from the senses because the soul perceives a singular object through the senses, perceive the same object through the senses. Because the soul perceives a singular object through the senses.
Though the senses.
Oh, though, not through. Okay, that's what. Okay. Because the soul perceives a singular object, though the senses perceive the same object in various ways. Here the correlated thesis are, one, that the soul derives its knowledge through the channels of the senses, two, that the senses are more than one, three, that each of the senses has its own perception of an object, four, that a substance... Yeah. That a substance being distinct from its perceived qualities is the abode of them. So then, the soul is perceiving this. So we're talking about the senses and the sense objects, and we're establishing that point. Based on that, that you can have that continuity, that's because of the soul. Otherwise, each sense is perceiving different things. But why is it we can pull it all together and see it from one perspective? That's because the soul is the one seeing, not the sense. So, you know, so then you're establishing one point based on another. You establish the one point, when that's established, the other one naturally follows. You know, it'd be a little bit like comparison, but it's not exactly comparing, but it would be, because we have this, therefore you can see that naturally applies.
But the soul does this through the mind? Yes.
But that's why you see, is different people will do, but everybody's seeing. You know, what they're seeing out there is, you know, how they value it and all that is different. Just like we were saying, is talking to the one devotee about, you know, the temple is very dirty. So, you know, unless you take care of this temple, how are you going to, you know, expand and increase and develop other aspects? You know, you're not taking care of what you have. And he pointed out, is, I don't see it. You know, it's my weakness. He wasn't trying to justify that it was all right. He was saying, oh, okay, yeah, no, that is a fault, but I don't have the ability to see it. You know? So if there was a pile of garbage sitting in the middle of the veranda, he would be coming in thinking, and he'd just, you know, there would be something in front that's not the veranda, he'd just walk around it. And so he said, I'm dependent upon, you know, yourself and other devotees to see the garbage and get rid of it, because you know it's the standard. Because I would agree, yes, that should be clean, but I don't see whether it's clean or not, because he could just see, you know, he knew how to make money and how to talk to people that they would want to be involved in that process. At the same time, he was really into philosophy, so he could get guys that are hardcore Vaishnavas that would not discuss philosophy. They'd sit down with him for hours and come day after day to just hang out and talk. That he could do. But he could not see if something was dirty or not. There was no samskar. It wasn't the field for him. So he was just pointing it out. So it's like that, how do we get into that? I was establishing something.
I was just asking whether the soul makes this.
Yes. So different people will see it in different ways. So we'll see it as something to be kept clean for the Lord. He sees it as an opportunity to bring lots of people and engage them in particular service. They honor Prashad, therefore they're going to give donations. So they honor Prashad, they'll get purified, they'll understand the philosophy. But he doesn't see the veranda other than that, so it's dirty, he doesn't see that. But he surrounds himself with people who are smart and do things like that. So if he can't see the deities, what you should do. He just comes, takes darshan and that, but what you do to make it better. So he has somebody who knows puja and can do that. So he's smart in that way. He surrounds himself with people that actually can do all those things, and he focuses on that one that the others aren't doing. Yeah.
In fact, recently we discussed with children Pramana and Pratyaksha. And I showed them, for example, different optical illusions for explanation of this point. And it was very amazing that different children they saw different illusions, but some children were illusioned by some pictures, but some not, and opposite. Means their senses, received information from these pictures by different way, and we understood that everyone is his own illusion, not same.
Yeah, but that's the imperfect senses, so that's why we take, if pratyaksha is if you've heard from Shastra, you've understood how it applies and you accept that, and then you can see it applied, then that's perfect. But pratyaksha on its own as a basis is not correct. You're not seeing it properly.
Yeah, because they weren't even agreeing on the illusion they were seeing. Some saw it, some didn't. So
Is that the illusion or whether it's a young girl or an old lady? That one?
That's a good one.
Yeah, that means originally when I saw it, I saw both.
There were some spots and rounds and different genetical.
Oh, those ones, whether it's bigger, smaller, or this or that. Okay, so I'll understand.
This is the second meeting, first, when we give to the engineers, the second.
You bring in that one.
The second session. First session is, can a scientist believe in God? It's what basically the discussion between Bhakti Sarvadhamadhan Maharaj and Prabhupada.
Oh, okay.
Mostly it's from his writings.
Okay.
And how Prabhupada answered and bringing. But fourth session it's done with all those.
But then third session then you should bring the Rorschach prints.
Mm-hmm.
Like that, and then you can divide them up into which group they go into.
Yeah.
Yes, strange thing that girls and the boys with the emotional intelligence, they were not cheated by pictures with animals, but cheated by pictures with geometrical figures.
The girls will see.
Girls were able to distinguish pictures with animals.
Okay, but not the geometric.
But boys more. They were able to see where is the children geometrical figures, but they're not able to distinguish something with the animals or people.
Oh, okay. That's
makes sense because the shapes are more logical than the way
follow. They look at the situation. Because animals also, it's an experience of that. The others are just mechanical.
That's interesting.
Yeah. Okay, now we're on the next one. Sutra 1131. Prove doctrine on the basis of implication. Abhyu Pagamana Siddhanta is the object which is accepted without specifically establishing proof for the purpose of examining its particular character. Footnote 18. Udyotakara, a Gotama scholar from the 11th century, explains that Abhyupagamana Siddhanta is the acceptance of a thesis, though not stated in so many words, which is implicitly admitted through the discussion of the nature of the object in the basic treatise of one's own system. Example, the Nyaya Sutra does not state in so many words that mind is a sense, but from the critical discussions about the nature of mind in this treatise, it is clear that mind is admitted to be a sense. The acceptance that mind is a sense on the part of the Nyayayika is an Abhyupagamana Siddhanta.
Yeah. It's just, you know, it's just like let's discuss it. We're discussing politics, and we're discussing about, you know, left and right. You know, you're just automatically accepting that left is good. So that's this Abhyupagamana Siddhanta. You know? That, or that puppies are good, you know, just like that. It's just automatic.
So for the gross elements, there's a sense for each of those. The subtle element is actually mind, but it's also a sense because it
Because it controls them all. So in that way, it becomes the 11th sense, though it's not categorized as one of the senses. There's only 10 senses. The 11th, but the mind, because it deals with all of them, regulates all. Deals with all of them. Therefore, it's the 11th sense. But intelligence, even though it regulates the senses, is not counted as a sense. Because it's not perceiving that, it's analyzing.
Right.
Because what you see, then it's going to be, it's going to give an impression. That's what the mind deals with. Otherwise, it's just data. It's not even information. The mind makes it into information.
Intelligence evaluates the information. And the soul.
And then the soul.
So then, ahankara also not a sense, just a polluted sense of the real self.
Yeah, because technically, in one way you can look at it, that mind is the overall thing, and within that, then intelligence, the functions of the mind, the manas.
Yeah.
Because you can also look at it as chitta.
Right.
The mind is chitta, the overall, though. The mind is an element, the intelligence an element, the false ego's element, and polluted consciousness is an element, are four different things. But within the polluted consciousness, you have the manas, which deals with the senses, brings in and takes out information. The intelligence who analyzes it, and then the ego who identifies. Because until you identify, you can't do something. Right? So that's why you see much of the time, let's say you have a great scientist and he comes up with amazing things and analyzes how everything works and this and that, but he does nothing with it.
Mm-hmm.
He just analyzes it because he doesn't identify.
Just like the guy that doesn't see the garbage.
He doesn't identify. But then another guy comes along, either somebody from the government or the corporate world, they identify with what you can get from it. Now they can use it and work and get that. While he wouldn't he would never do that. Because he was, for him, it was thinking about something else, and this just happened to be a side thing, you know, it's like one of these ones that you weren't trying to specifically do that, but it came up on the side.
That actually adds to, oftentimes I'll talk about what sadhu sangha means, what it actually means, because, you know, we tend to think of it as just hanging out with devotees. We don't see that there has to be a connection there for it to be sadhu sangha. So even the word associate actually means that you have to identify with it. It's not just that you're... It's not proximity, it's actually identifying...
That's very nice.
...what's there. So that actually just gave it up another depth of understanding.
Yeah, no, that's very nice.
Until that's there, it's not really sadhu sangha.
Yeah. So you don't take it up. Because it's interesting, because Manu, in explaining association, you know, about a bad association, then he gives two examples, and it means one sense you can tell the difference, but in another sense, if you get nitpicky, you'll see they're the same thing. So this would make the key difference, is that it says you're not associating, let's say you have a low-class person, you're sitting on the same bench with him, you're traveling in the same vehicle with him, you're interacting with him, you know, or stuff like that. It's not association, so you're not contaminated. So when you go to work every day, you're not contaminating yourself like that. But it says the same thing as when you're traveling with them, eating with them, talking with them, that's association. Because one has the identity, the other it doesn't.
Like the story of the two brahmacharis and sannyasis, and there was the woman on the side of the
Yes,
room.
Yeah.
One carried her over, but the other one was carrying her in the mind.
Yes.
So it's just identifying.
Identifying, because the one saw it as a person who, would be a natural recipient of kindness.
Yeah.
Well, the other one was, and so therefore the kindness is done. Once you get to the land, you put them down. It's done, because that was where the kindness was, getting over the river. But the other one would see them as an object of sense gratification, so they're still carrying that. So one had an identity in one way, the other had a different way. So that's then, you know, what's done and not done. And that also gets very nice how to distinguish that, because that's a very hard one to distinguish. It's how you identify yourself and them, and therefore what's the relationship.
So that comes from ahankar. Well, not ahankar. So if it's improper, then it's ahankar. If it's proper, then it's soul.
Yeah, soul, or it's you're taking it from the shastra, even the pious, you know, but he's taking it based on shastra, but which aspect of shastra he's taking. So therefore, what's his duty? Mm-hmm. And so then the one is sitting as, you know, like that. It's almost like the, yeah.
So if you're identifying a servant of Krishna, then...
It has that, and then what's favorable? Yes.
Oh, right. Yeah,
what's favorable? That is for. It means I'm serving a Krishna, therefore I do things to please Krishna. There's this scenario that's there. Within that, what is favorable for Krishna, and what has the connection with myself that I have an identity in that form of servant, and the gross and subtle tools that I have, you know, my nature, is that would connect to Krishna. And so it may be a great situation for doing something, but it's not your situation.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You know, it's just like, let's say you're having a wedding, you know, in the house, and because it's a wedding, so therefore then the brother who is a temple brahmachari is also invited because he has to be there because the sister's getting married. If he doesn't go, his sister will kill him. You know, so he goes. And so then at one point, then, you know, and there's going to be those relaxed moments, you know, in between all the insanity of that after the wedding's place and everyone's sitting around and how, you know, talking about how when, you know, before the next formal thing of the reception or something, where, you know, you have the sisters there, all the bridesmaids are there, and all the, you know, the what do you call it, the groomsmen, or whatever, they're there, you know, and then, you know, and the other family members and all that. So then for the brahmachari, then there's people there, and it's stuff as much as you can. You can talk about, you know, Krishna consciousness, as long as you put it in the light of the duties of marriage and the family and the, you know, that kind of thing, and then you can show us how, you know, has to leave there, right? And so you're saying all that, and he's saying that, and once he's done with that, then they go back to his room. But, you know, the bridesmaids and the groom's men, they're thinking, who there can connect up. You know, because they know, okay, my friend and their friend are married, so that's out of the picture, but everybody else is open season, right? So, no?
We get this in this scenario where there's
no
the girl was married, so the brother came to come all the way from England. Not only that, but he had to bring the cake for the wedding. So
why? Because he knows cooking.
He's good.
Okay. He had to make the cake.
So, yeah, he did make.
Yeah. But then he offered the cake. So then everyone said.
No, they're all good.
Oh, they're all good. Okay. Just to make sure.
Yeah.
But not all the guests were.
Yeah.
But there's no meat or alcohol.
Okay.
So all the guests, they need to eat only prasadam.
Okay. And then after that, they went to the real reception. Put on by the parents. Yeah! Okay.
Sounds Indian.
Yeah.
They were Ukrainian Jews.
Oh, okay. That means in one part of the yagya, did they get up and step on the glass?
Oh,
you know,
the mazel tov instead of the rock.
Yeah.
But they're eating milgiris sometimes. So Ukrainian Jews eating milgiris.
Okay, something's lost in translation there. Okay.
On the topic of frustration, I remember
Ukrainian Jews in Bulgaria who are Hare Krishnas.
Uh-huh. Well, actually, they come in a few days here.
What's the punchline?
They have in Vrindavan, they'll be coming home here, so you might see them.
Oh, okay. Okay. That's Sofia, Timisoara?
They live in Sofia. They live in Varna, part of this.
Okay.
They're moving because he's.
So they were in Varna, but now from the marriage they've shifted to ashram, and so then.
Yeah.
They shifted the ashram.
This is, oh, it's actually the devotee, the father.
But the Varna stays the same, right? The Varna would stay the same, just the ashram would shift.
Varna was the same, they all got
shifted.
Yeah.
The identity is.
Yes.
The father of the bride is the one who's telling you about that has the place on the seaside.
Oh, okay.
Very strong questions. That's the bible. Very well established. Right. No doubt.
Well, it's there in the genes, but besides just the, it's got the further. That goes back to the Ukrainian descent of the particular community. Okay. Cool. You had something? No.
So I just remember that Rupa was coming to find himself or Jews from Sadhu Sangha having three elements should be more advanced about superior devotees.
Right.
Affectionate towards you.
Okay.
and like-minded.
And like-minded. Yeah. Yeah, that's interesting. More advanced. Having affection and like-minded. So if they're more advanced, like-minded, but don't have the affection, then it won't work.
It's not stable.
Yeah, it won't be stable. Or if they have affection, but it's not like-minded, then it'll be very limited on what level you can.
Context is not established.
Yeah, context. Like you see, sometimes I've seen this, some devotees that I know that you do one thing with them. Mm-hmm. Just like let's say, you know, at a feast, a festival, you take prasad with them. They're there, you sit with them, and it's good. But you don't do anything else with them. You know, someone else, you know, you sit with them and chanting. Like, they're really great to sit next to and chant and that.
The whole Bengal is like affectionate and very nice devotees, but need not necessarily be like-minded.
Very, very like-minded. Yeah.
They have a different way all day.
Yeah, and if you take part in that, then you're cool. You're part of the scene.
But generally, they're affectionate, so
yeah,
they don't mind you just coming and dropping some whatever time and pushing off.
But you don't get involved.
Actually, I have a question: to which extent we should depend on this having good friends among the world? Because sometimes you. Sometimes I particularly, sometimes I feel I'm maybe too dependent on my friends. Without them, I.
That means that there is the Beatles wrote a famous song on that. You know, so
that's how you get by.
Yeah. Friends, it's important. Yeah. But it's important in the way of that you associate, you do things like that, and you become inspired in your service and everything like that. So then that way, then it goes on. So it's not a problem. Dependent like that means you can start to see as if there's an over emotional dependence or that you can try to regulate. You know, but the point is that, you know, that you're involved in devotional activities, you hear and chant about Krishna, you do service with them and all that, that will always remain, because even when you go back to Godhead, you know, these same friends will be there, but now it'll be on the, you know, purely transcendental platform. There won't be any other elements to it. Yes.
Also, there are two aspects, Maharaj, on that association. One is the general association with devotees, where, you know, you associate and then you do service together and thing. But specifically, you know, what I observed in friendship is a close friend is where you can share things in confidence. And then that too, more like once your etiquette also on a standard level. It's more about you have got experiences in your practice, then he is the natural person whom you can share and you can relate to it, and that gives the main inspiration. Like when we are together, we are discussing, and then he can, you know, add into it some things, and then you can add into his. But with other general devotees, you cannot discuss in that in confidence. So that's where then that close friendship becomes very prominent, especially after we are for, like, you know, sufficient time where we are stable in the basic, you know, practice and all, then this is all what makes it more dynamic, because rest all the things are just the standard what we are.
That's very interesting about the confidential, because it is one of the six, yeah. Two of the six.
Yeah, Priti Lakshan.
Yeah. But also then I guess it would be the deeper on how far you can take it, because yeah. I'll know people where you can discuss confidentially about them. They're comfortable with that because, you know, they're there. For many, it's, you know, dealing with themselves, and that they trust you that they could talk about themselves to you, then that's there, but there's no interest to talk about you.
That's not a friend. That's a dependent.
Like that.
He's a dependent.
That's
not
interesting.
A so I also, like, we give a definition of that. That close friendship is...
Okay. So that reduces the list, like, dynamic. You know, because I always remember Sahotamash would talk about, he would quote from some, you know, well-known personality about how if someone has one good friend in the world, he's actually very lucky. And I was thinking, well, that's so many. But now that you mentioned that part, it does immediately cut down the list by...
Drastically.
Yeah, I mean drastically.
Because
I learned that very early, is that if you deal with people in their field, and they're comfortable. Because I remember when I was young, people would come over to the house, but at some point, no one came to the house. I always went to their house.
Another observation, Maharaj, is like that close friend is one whom at any point of time, in whatever mood you are, wherever you are, you need not think what you are saying. Because that much relationship is there, that it will be always seen in the proper conduct, proper way.
But there's only one problem. You couldn't make this a universal definition, because amongst the more extreme liberal, politically correct personalities, you can never come to that point, because anything you say...
But to that friends.
Okay, well, that I think that would be a proved doctrine based on implication, right? Is that, yeah, just they absolutely have no friends.
When we talk about friends, it's in the context of devotion. This is how the definition goes. Otherwise, then they are like, you know, the other verse says, there is no friend, there is no family, there is no friend.
Yeah.
All those verses
are like... Because ultimately, it's Krishna's the friend.
Yes.
I mean, if you look at it, he's the person who, no matter where you go, he's there. No matter what mood you're in, he's there listening. You can talk to him anytime about anything. You know? So he's, you know, you could say he's the real friend. Then others will be an expansion of that.
Yes.
Because all living entities are his Shakti. They're all expanded from him. So the manifestation of friendship in particular jivas then is going to be, or you know, the... is going to be that quality is coming from Krishna. It's So when you see in the context of Krishna, then it has this natural manifestation. When you don't, then it'll have the temporary aspect. It's just a manifestation from the universal form. That's what the karmis will get. You know, they see some of this. You know, you have that song by the Acharya, Krishna Pita, Krishna Mata, Krishna Panadam. Mm-hmm. You know, Krishna, all these things that I find in life that are important in relationship, they're actually Krishna because it's coming from Krishna. And by the modes and by, you know, whatever it is in past action, then this person acts like a father or a mother or a friend or like this. And so you're getting that interaction, but actually the jiva is just doing it for their benefit and for that. So only in relation to Krishna can you actually have real friends, you know, real relationships. Yes?
But if we have very nice relationship with your friend, and we can exist relations based on our discussions from Krishna consciousness, because we can say attitude and say on the
same. Yes, no, there's no.
Is it okay if we more want to be with our friends than to be in holy home? Or is this
more with our friends than to be?
Than to be here in home.
Or is here in?
In
the Dham, okay. The point is that where, as I mentioned before in the Bhakti Sandarbha, is that the devotees are known as Tirtha because they bring you in contact with Krishna and engage you in Krishna service. So where the devotees are, that's Tirtha. So therefore then, if one, wherever those friends are, then you like to be with them in those places. But then also the Dham is also, you know, a friend. You know, and so it's by only by the grace of Nityananda Prabhu that we're here. You know, and so that, and then also with time you develop friendships here and things like that. But to see friends are very important. So it's not a problem. But at the same time, being the Dham service like that, then that's important. So you work out how you can do both. You know, invite your friends to Mayapur.
Also, friendship is not based on the time factor, how much you associate, and also on the proximity, whether you're staying close or far.
Yeah.
So, if those two become important, then it is.
But it's also, I've noticed this.
Initially, it is.
No, but I'm saying is the thing is that I've noticed that it's in feminine nature, that proximity and that regularity is more important because it's. Something's alive, you keep it alive. But with men, I remember, at least back in the 70s, 80s, 90s, there were devotees that I would see only at the festival. I would never see them any other time. And when I'd see them, immediately start off, have a nice interaction, I would have no idea what their name is. I never learned their name. I don't know what temple they're from, yatra, nothing. But every 2-3 years when they come to the festival and you see them, you just immediately, just wherever was the relationship when it ended there, it starts again. You know? Or even people you do know, like Radhanath Maharaj, I know him forever, but his point is there may be years and years in between when I'd see him, like I would have seen him in New Vrindavan in 73, then I probably would have seen him in India so many years later. And then another time, you know, another 5-10 years, you know. So in my mind, it's a dynamic relationship that's going on. But I notice that ladies, it'll go to neutral. Then when they meet again, if it starts off on a positive foot, then it continues as it was. And if it doesn't, then that one's show. Like that. So that will be a weakness there. So that's why then the stability of having Krishna, the Acharyas and that, because you can rely on them. And then that stableness of relationships, you know. So in other case, you balance between, because the point is if those associates are important, because I see some, they come and visit here and everything, and they're here, they love it in Mayapur, they do, but then after some time they need to go back to their place because of their friends, their associates, you know. And then, but you know, next year they're happy to come again. So you just have to find the balance between it. Yeah. Does that work or? Yeah? Yeah. So then, like that. Because then, Because serving the Dham means it's an advantage because everything's like 1,000 times more than other places. But the association is good. In other words, if being in the Dham you can be inspired in Krishna consciousness, then be here. But if one needs to occasionally be with those friends that will create that inspiration, then you take advantage of that. You know, there were time, you know, then the two will match.
Okay, we've gotten through that. Okay, now we're the next. Okay.
Om Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Shri Prabhupada ki. Jai.